A reading of Acts 1, verse 6 to 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
There's a story I've been telling in conversations about how fast things changed when it became evident that the coronavirus was spreading in our province. It has to do with the unfolding of the second week of March. On Sunday, March 8th, we had our annual meeting. We had 300 people at worship. We had some lunch. We went into the Van Roon Community Hall, and with 120 people or so, we conducted all of our business about what had been in 2019 and all the things we were going to do in 2020. And with the single exception that on that day we had already stopped shaking hands, not a single word was mentioned about the coronavirus, about a possible pandemic, about how our worship life might be changed. 2 days later, on Tuesday, March the 10th, I spent almost all day trying to figure out and talking to people about what we were going to do with communion on Easter, which at that point was still a month away. I consulted with a nurse who is giving me some expert advice. I had a meeting with the Worship and Education Committee, and we plotted out all kinds of different possibilities. We came to a conclusion, and I wrote a pastoral letter that went out as an email to the whole congregation. This is how we're going to have communion on Easter. 5 days later, on Sunday, March 15th, council convened after the morning service, and we made a decision, a unanimous decision, that we needed to follow the province's health guidelines and suspend all operations, all gatherings, until such time as it was safe to do so again. Never in our wildest imaginations could we have dreamt that this suspension, this cessation, was going to take as long as it has. In some ways, we were unprepared, but I would suggest that we were more than adequately prepared because we have been adaptable. We are a permission-giving community, and we have done what was necessary. We are a trusting community, and so we have listened carefully to the people who know stuff and taken their advice to heart. We may have been short-supplied in hand sanitizer, but we have been oversupplied with hope. Hope is the resource that the Christian community has more than almost anything else. Hope is the knowledge that God has shown us through difficult days in the past with grace and with mercy. Hope is the awareness that God is our companion in our present time of trial. And hope is the assurance that we will move into a future that God has promised and to which God is leading us. Hope gets a wonderful summary in those lines from the Remembrance Day hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. It is Ascension Sunday, the Sunday before Pentecost, the last Sunday in the season of Easter. And on that day, the disciples are gathered with Jesus, and they ask him a pivotal question. Lord, is this the time that you are going to restore sovereignty to Israel? It is their way of expressing that they recognize they are in a strange and in-between time. They have the resurrected Jesus in their midst, but they do not know what God has in store for them. Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the date or the time that God has chosen, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Jesus is promising that God is going to do something for them that is going to open their eyes and fill them with hope and empower them with courage and conviction. We are living in in-between times, what Richard Rohr has called a liminal time. We know what has been. We're not exactly sure what is yet to come, but we know that God will act in the future as God has acted in the past, with love, with hope, with peace, with grace, and with mercy. The only problem with our in-between time is that we can't worship. But even that may be a blessing. I am somewhat dismayed by Christian communities who are almost panicking at the fact that they can't worship, as though not being able to be in the same room diminishes in any capacity the work of the Spirit among us. In fact, recalling the words from the hymn Amazing Grace, we were blind, perhaps, while we had the freedom to worship, but now we see. We can't worship, but we can see how vulnerable seniors in our communities, in our nursing homes, are, and we know that has to change. We can't worship, but we can see what goodness and grace comes from being still and slowing down and attending to family and home. We can't worship, but can we not see what goodness there is in creation and how it is the care for creation may be as simple as leaving it alone a little bit more and allowing its healing to take place? We can't worship, but we can see all the things that God is doing around us. Perhaps in the small phrase that kind of illustrates best of all what happens in the mysterious story of the Ascension, perhaps it's simply a question of recognizing that like Jesus, we rise. Actually, because of Jesus, we rise. We rise to the occasion. We rise to the defense. We rise as one because there is one who is risen and who fills us with hope. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us unite our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let us pray. Maker of heaven and earth, you are the one who put the sun and moon in their courses. You are the light of the morning star and the warmth of the midday sun. We celebrate your eternal goodness and give thanks for all that is around us that speaks of your grace. We thank you for the blessing of the company by whom we are surrounded, even in a time of distancing. There is something in the way you move that reassures us. We praise you for the gifts of music and art that draws us into contemplation of your will for the world. We praise you for the myriad of remote ways musicians and artists have found to inspire and unite us in this moment. There is something in the way you move that moves us. We rejoice in the calm and the quiet, the peace and reflection in which we listen for your still small voice. There is something in the way you move that attracts us. Draw us closer each day to the truth that love is stronger even than death. Accept our prayers for the members of our global family who have lost their lives during this pandemic. There is something in the way you move that comforts us. We pray for our sisters and brothers in the global community who need comfort, who find themselves grieving, in sorrow, or in pain. There is something in the way you move that challenges us. We pray for the heroic efforts of those who are confronting disaster in the fires near Camperville and Pine Creek First Nation. We pray for the lives endangered by the floods in Michigan. There is something in the way you move that empowers us. Bless our efforts to bring your ways of love and peace into the world where you move so freely. God of every language, accept our prayers. Give us light, give us life, give us hope, help us cope. Let our hearts and souls reach you and be filled with all the wonder that is yours to give. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, who leads us to pray together when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, be well, be safe, be hopeful. Amen.